Good evening and welcome. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour two of the broadcast here on this Monday, the 11th of March, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And oh, we're still wondering what all could come in these Ides of March 24 here. As far as other news out there, well, RFK Jr. is out there saying Trump hasn't learned. Trump clearly hasn't learned from his COVID era mistakes. President Joe Biden claimed that COVID vaccines are now helping cancer patients during his State of the Union address. But it was a response on Truth Social from former President Donald Trump that drew the ire of independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. During the address, President Biden said, "The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setbacks into comebacks. That's what America does." And President Trump wrote, "The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setbacks into comebacks. You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken you." And an outspoken critic of President Trump's COVID response and the Operation Warp Speed program that escalated the availability of COVID vaccines, Mr. Kennedy said on X, "Donald Trump clearly hasn't learned from his COVID era mistakes." Of course, on Truth Social, Trump took quite a beating from some of his otherwise supportive MAGA patriots. Additionally there, Kennedy said, quote, "He fails to recognize how ineffective his warp speed vaccine is, as the ninth shot is being recommended to seniors. Even more troubling is the documented harm being caused by the shot. So many innocent children and adults who are suffering myocarditis, pericarditis, and brain inflammation." He goes on, "This has been confirmed by a CDC-funded study of 99 million people. Instead of bragging about its speedy approval, we should be honestly and transparently debating the abundant evidence that this vaccine may have caused more harm than good. I look forward to debating both Trump and Biden on September 16th in San Marcos, Texas." And Mr. Kennedy announced in April 2023 that he would challenge President Biden for the 2024 Democratic Party presidential nomination before declaring his run as an independent last October, claiming that the Democrat National Committee was, quote, "rigging the primary," end quote. And they're saying he has, since the early stages of his campaign, generated more support than pundits expected from conservatives, moderates, and independents, resulting in speculation he could take votes away from President Trump. Biden is the one really concerned, though, about independent votes, which otherwise might have been his or were his in the past. So there's a bit of projection there in the intensity. And this is from Epoch Times. So, you know, I mean, it's more pro-Pentagon than CCP for a start. I'll put it that way. To be pro-Pentagon whatsoever, or at least not going against the grain too harshly to draw the wrong kind of attention. It's the way I would categorize. But I mean, there are so many things. You know, I mean, like Kennedy, just like any of these people, you know, some may see things better on one agenda or see through these psyops. But then in other ways, they can be so lacking. Of course, Kennedy, I mean, as much as Trump doesn't all out, state there's a white genocide and who's behind it. I mean, if he could even know who's behind it, I don't know. I mean, has he really been briefed on that? You know, you have to wonder. I mean, he has to pay some people, even before he was a president for a term, to give him the best information out there, all the options and different things and that. But then again, it depends on who you hire and consider your... So, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, you're not going to get... I mean, even less so, you're going to get any racial realism in policies from Kennedy than Trump. As much as Trump is kind of tame and kosher in his how, I mean, the whole make America great again, you know, it's a far cry from, you know, make America a whiter than ever, if you will. I mean, from what we hear from Mr. Gaddy, I mean, this country has been infiltrated by the usual suspects from its near inception. You know, we just had a short span of years where we were really without those shackles, you know, at first. And, of course, with the Articles of Confederation, you know, the only a true potential we had seen in the past. But I digress. I mean, yeah, Kennedy, at least on the issue of the shots and, you know, some other health issues, well, vaccines and, well, somewhat big pharma, perhaps. He does have that to offer. Well, here's something local to Pittsburgh. We're hearing Pittsburgh police are no longer responding to non-emergency calls. So theft, harassment, criminal mischief, and burglary alarms. Those will all essentially be ignored, for example, as some of what's included there. So, okay, yeah, I'm being burglarized. Well, I mean, harassment, you know, it depends. Where do you draw the line even? Okay. And let's see, there was some more local news I had here to get through a couple of these that I have left quickly. That's, well, this was in St. Louis, Missouri. And it's pretty graphic and, you know, something that usually doesn't get out to some of these you know, media sources. You know, just the black-on-white violence, how, you know, you really do not get... I mean, sure, there's black-on-black violence, black-on-white, black-on-Asian, but, I mean, the narrative out there, you know, evil white people, is so extreme, and it is. I mean, it is Jewish weaponization of projection and overcompensation to achieve their cultural revolution. But, you know, every so often some more, well, less than racial realist media pundits, you'll get some of this trickled out, and so yeah, it'll be a big eye opener for they and their readers. But this was authored by Steve Watson via modernity.news over at Zero Hedge. So we had this black Missouri teen arrested, and I checked out the footage. I mean, she's brutally beating this white girl to the point of seizing, and leaves her there seizing on the ground. I mean, he repeatedly was smashing the student's head in the concrete while repeatedly calling her a bitch and leaving her having this seizure. Then a group of students all began an all-out brawl before police were called to the scene close to the school this past Friday. And again, graphic footage Police in Missouri have arrested a teenage girl after a video emerged of a confrontation showing a savage beating of a fellow student that left the victim seizing on the ground and with a traumatic brain injury. The girl reportedly suffered a traumatic brain injury and is listed in critical condition in the hospital. While the assailant was arrested on assault charges Saturday, taken to the St. Louis County Family Court and held in custody through to Sunday. Social media content suggests that the victim had been the target of bullying at the school. And, you know, from what I saw in the video, it's a rather attractive white girl. She's probably just one of the only white girls at the school who is attractive of that grade. And, you know, very few white girls in general, and the others, well, you know. And so, yeah, of course, she's going to be singled out and be a, again, I mean, from what you have in the schools, from the critical race theory and intersectionality, all this ridiculous Jewish philosophical weaponization at its core, to just what they have in the entertainment industry out there. And, you know, that's what's influencing their peers as well, these standards they want to live up to fit in. It's, yeah, I mean, so this girl had been terrorized just for being an attractive white girl to begin with. And then this day it went into a brawl leading to a seizure. So this is high school in St. Louis. Don't send your children to these schools, folks. If you have children, and I mean, if I were to, I can't see how I wouldn't homeschool if I would have had children, knowing what I know. But if I would have had children, would I have learned enough to know better? Would my life have taken a different course? So, but those of you who have been aware enough of these factors, you know, that there's really no excuse keeping your children exposed to these environments. And, you know, to sugarcoat it, to not make some non-white people or some black people or whatever feel bad, when you're talking about serious permanent consequences, like what's happened to this poor girl. You know, it's amazing how we've been, the Overton window has already been shifted so far that making some black people feel bad is more important than this girl not having, you know, brain injuries for the rest of her life and being basically retarded now. And who knows what else as a result of these brain injuries. So, yeah, we need that Overton window shifted back. And that's where platforms and people with a free speech environment like RBN are able to be here with all the other perspectives and hosts and to maintain our culture, you know, and keeping it real, folks, okay? You know, we're not going to allow all the populace to be gaslit. We're here to prevent that. That's our function. And it's a very important function. California Democrat Assemblyman Reggie Jones Sawyer wants taxpayer-funded lawyers for illegals convicted of, quote, serious and violent crimes, unquote. So illegal invaders, specifically, who've been convicted of or who are currently appealing a conviction for a violent or serious felony. The bill AB 2031 would also expand those qualifying services. The person's having an intent to reside in and having a nexus to the state, and would include, quote, legal representation and related services for removal defense, unquote. See, the thing is, I mean, we're having, what, a straight from the Federal Reserve financial assistance to California to push forward this cultural revolution. And so there's just no stopping it. And what all would be included with some of those? I mean, well, felonies, violent felonies. So, you know, I don't think more needs to be specified. And of course, we have your nonprofits involved here. 2017 had California Democrats vote to create a government grant program called One California to provide $45 million per year in grants for nonprofits that provide defense and other legal services for low-income illegal immigrants. See, the thing is, folks, that these people can travel interstate-wise as much as they wish. And, yeah, that's why, again, as far as the border policies, I'm pretty close to Haiti, so I can't help but pay attention to those updates I heard on that front. I see we're starting to get some callers build up here. Let's try to get to them in a moment here. Let's see, we have Zelensky out there ripping at the Pope and rejecting calls for peace talks. Calls for Kiev to enter peace talks with Russia to end the war. And, you know, that's speaking for itself, certainly. Three corporations own 19,000 Metro Atlanta homes. A recent study by Georgia State University researchers found that three corporations own more than 19,000 homes in Atlanta's five metro counties. What does this mean for the housing market? You know, this should not even be legal. And I bet anything, what, this would be BlackRock, State Street, well, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. So, Estonia just suffered the biggest cyber attack in the country's history. Remember, I interviewed a guy from there. I mean, they were trying to be quite nationalist for a bit, and I'm sure they're paying for it now from the EU in underhanded, subversive ways. So that cyber attack, you know, maybe it had to do with them trying to stand up for themselves. And, well, we have a 140,000 farms that have been lost in the last 5 years, according to the Census for Agriculture, between 2017 and 2022. Again, we've had so many farmers being paid not to plant, not allowed to, and you know, using every means from climate change to the GMO and patenting and whatever means to enforce this. They're planning very possibly a huge famine, just like they had it, the planned gaming before COVID. You know, it's sounding like what they've been doing regarding famine is this exact same thing now, and so I have to wonder if that's going to go live as well. But, you know, this is just another, since we've been talking about that for a while. So, I mean, yeah, the famine thing, and they could blame a climate change and stick to their energy policies that impoverish us even more in a feedback loop of their propaganda as a result of it. That can be the easiest way to control the populace in times where they get uppity. That's what I see coming. How shadowy networks of NGOs supply mega corporations with migrants to exploit cheap labor. Well, forget about the organized Jewish elite white replacement, white genocide agenda. If you throw that in too, then I'd give some more credit to your article, but otherwise, sure. Why not? That's a factor that helps soften the blow and add a little sugar for these corporations to make the medicine go down, right? And so, yeah, we should go to the, let's see, we have, okay, I see, oh, we have Robert in the queue here. Robert in Missouri. Hey, welcome. Okay, all right, well, so we have a couple that we lost here. Actually, my fault. All right, let's see. We have Dan in Washington. Dan.
Are you there?
Yeah, I hear you. How you doing, Dan? Hey, good to hear your voice. Yeah, happy Monday.
Yeah. You listen to Eric Stryker and shows like War Strike. They got a new show, Eric Stryker and Warren Baylock. Anyway, I'd recommend it. There's a lot of good stuff on Odyssey. I'm just kind of getting into, but they were talking about the Articles of Confederation, and they said there was this Quaker leader. I guess I forgot his name, but the Quakers were against the U.S. Constitution because he said. The Quakers said it would be easier to import slaves, and that also, he said in 100 years you might have a Jewish president trying to set up the Jewish homeland. like everything that guy said, I guess, came true, basically, but anyway, I thought that was. You got to listen to what they. I'll try to get his name and call back when I know what I'm talking about. But but it's interesting how he foresaw, basically the Jewish takeover of America with the U.S. Constitution. But
I'm not familiar with. I haven't really checked out Stryker's work, but I've been aware of him from many others. And yeah, I would sometime if you say he has a new show, maybe it would be a good time to check once in a while because I like. Have a lot of, I think it's good for us to have a lot of different people out there who are different from each other with different strategies, different ways they present this information to people.
Yeah, Odyssey is a pretty good platform. I mean, I can even watch it on my TV now. I got a Roku TV. But they kind of had a breakup with TRS, but I listened to TRS, and then so they started a show called War Strike. Because Warren and Stryker, and then I listen to White Rabbit Radio, and Mark Collette is on there too. So anyway, I just thought I'd say that. But I kind of those guys are more left, and I've actually gotten more left wing. I mean, I've studied history and everything. I mean, capitalism, this form of capitalism we have basically leads to white genocide. From what I'm seeing, it kind of always has. And I mean, only with socialism, a little more socialism is about the only way I see out of it. You know, like, would you trade, say, like, Swedish-style socialism for no immigration, if that was a deal? Like, or even communism, would you even trade, like, 1980s communist Russia with current day America, because the one thing the communists never did was try to replace their own population. And socialism never really did that. America is probably the worst as far as illegal immigration. Just like you had slavery, that kind of, like you were saying, the cheap labor thing.
Yeah. But I mean, I do believe that at the very core of communism. I mean, that it really is a political organized Jewry. You know, that they're the philosophy of these Jewish elites, and it is very hostile to destroy all races and cultures.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I think that it's a stepping stone, and it wasn't necessary to destroy the racial makeup, you know, at the times we've had, for Russia, say, for China, wherever, as far as major nations that have sustained, you know, communism for a bit. But I think there's always the ultimate goal of destroying white Western culture and white people that communism is beholden to. I do believe that, Dan. You know, as far as the callers that dropped, though, I just want to request, I mean, because we lost, I see Francis and Robert. Yeah, Robert, if you're able to try to call back, by the time when I first looked at the messages, you were already gone. And I'll have to look at my messages more often. Sometimes I just want to get distracted when I'm in the middle of trying to get something out. And yeah, I should check them when they come in. I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Well, I would agree with you about definitely the Bolsheviks and the, you know, the Jewish early communism. And I'm not saying communism is the way, but definitely socialism. Even if you went back to before the Reagan's tax cuts and taxed the top 1% more and basically made them pay for the health care of all these immigrants, that seems to be the only way it's going to stop, you know, because they import the cheap labor and we all pay for it, you know, with our property taxes and our wages go down. But definitely more of a socialism, kind of like, 1970s England or even Canada, you know. I just don't see a way around it unless you start regulating capitalism. You know what I mean? I don't think there's going to be a deportation force. You know, as long as these guys can get ahead by importing cheap labor, they will. Just like slavery, you know.
Well, who would the regulators be if it were regulated? Okay, I mean, we know that it's always the usual suspects controlling things at the top, and so, you know, I mean, just more government intervention toward corporations. I don't see how. I know. I mean, really, I mean, when you look at the writings of Adolf Hitler, or even, I mean, the perspective of Henry Ford, you know, I mean, you really can't have these people in your societies and be able to maintain them without subversion, sabotage.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But again, look at Adolf Hitler, National Socialism, that's exactly, I think, the solution, really.
Here, can you hold on, Dan? The other side of the break?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we'll do that. The problem.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis, historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers and Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with Dan in Washington on the line. And Dan, where did you want to go from there?
No, you brought up, you know, Hitler or National Socialist Germany, and even Mussolini. I mean, what they did was really what we're going to have to do. I have no problem with nationalizing the Federal Reserve, the healthcare system. You could nationalize it. Big pharma. I would totally trade our system for some Western European healthcare system, especially after COVID, you know? How do you like these guys making hundreds of billions of dollars, you know, using you as a guinea pig? You know, that wasn't big government. That was our private corporate healthcare system, you know? And so, you know, if we keep going on this track, and I think it got worse under Reagan, but, you know, the capitalism is the problem. I don't know if you've looked into Ezra Pound. I read a little thing on Ezra Pound. He's an interesting character. So he ended up moving to Italy. He was actually a famous artist. Kind of hung out with people like Hemingway and stuff in the 30s.
Information, and I've heard others like recite quotes of his and talk about his writings. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he said capitalism and communism are basically just both Jewish, two sides of the same Jewish coin. You know, so there's nothing really, there's just, communism's been gone for a while, but we're still stuck with the Jewish capitalism. You know?
Well, what Hitler made work is explicitly removing any sort of Jewish control from the society or infrastructure, and you know, and he made no bones about it. You know, so I mean, whether you're taking something that's more capitalist, something that seems more, something that seems capitalist. But controlled by the state. That's of course, you know, akin to what so many attribute to fascism. You know, some say Mussolini was misquoted in his definition, but regardless. I mean, yeah, you have socialist components. Well, socialism has, of national socialism, a fascism in national socialism. You know, there are components of the ideologies of the time. I mean, to even use the word socialism, and a lot of people were into communism for that matter in that era. He was trying to appeal to the working class, you know, the worker. You know, I mean, Hitler came from like low income, like, you know, I think his father too was military, but I mean, you know, he did his time in World War I, certainly risked his life significantly as a message runner, and yeah, I mean, yeah, appealing to the working class, you know, where a lot of variations of communism and socialism were popular at that time, but today someone wouldn't want to use the word communism or socialism in their talking points. You need to appeal to something that I mean, you remember, most people you're appealing to don't have all the education and knowledge, you know, a revisionist history that we do. And so if you're trying to reach a lot of people, you have to minimize, you know, and you know what your talking point.
I used to believe that, but I don't promote communism.
Well, no, I'm just saying someone like Hitler or Trump it's a difference from little planned communities somewhere. Like when you're talking about Hitler or Trump, who are like populists trying to appeal to the masses, you know, you have to dumb down your message if you're appealing to that wide a demographic, that large an amount of people. That's all I'm saying. But if you're trying to only have something that's a little more selective and concentrated and local.
That's why people loved Hitler, though, and Goebbels, because they didn't really, they always get accused of that, but they were actually really honest with the people, and, you know, they had, I forget their economic, was it Schroeder? We need to, you know, quit.
Well, no, I mean, I wasn't trying to criticize when I said dumb down your message. I just mean that, you know, I mean, they tried to appeal to things that even they were speaking to the Aryan race, so they, you know, on average, they were pretty intelligent people, the German race.
Their speeches, if you listen to Hitler's speech or Goebbels, I mean, they're way above what our politicians are. But sure, their economic plan, we need to talk more about, I think it's Schroeder, but there were these German economists that were basically socialist or fascist, whatever, and we need to start talking more about them than we do about Ayn Rand and von Mises and all these Jews, because it just worked,
social engineering.
A lot better. Worked better.
Well, here, Dan.
They're economically, like, nationalizing the money. You had a unit of labor.
Right.
Was what their dollar was based on. You know, Hitler didn't even allow war profiteering. You know, we got this industrial complex making billions. I think he even, they didn't allow war profiteering, or there's just a lot of ways. It was a more honest system, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen here, I see there are a couple other callers still. I should try to get them in before the end of the show here. But no, I love the discussion, and yeah. I always like your calls, Dan. Thank you. All right. Okay, well, let's go to... I'm sorry, again, I missed Robert. If you could call back now or another day, I'll be sure to try to keep on top of you know, who's coming in here. And Francis as well. I'm sorry, I missed your call, ma'am. We have Tony in Virginia. Tony, hey, good to hear from you, brother. What's going on tonight?
This is he. Am I coming through?
Yeah, yeah, loud and clear. Yeah, yeah, hope you're having a good evening.
I am. Actually, I'm outside. I'm looking. It's a clear sky where I'm at. I can see all the stars. The moon is on the horizon, so it looks huge. And it's just such a blessing to be outside, and I've been trying to do a lot of that more lately. That's why I've kind of dropped out a little bit, like not engaged so much. I've had a lot of stresses and this type of thing, and I wasn't even sure what I was going to talk about. But I love you, brother, and I felt like I should call in, make some contact. The initial thought was when you were talking about this girl that was a victim being beaten and where the priorities are, and it kind of reminded me of this another one, I think, that was killed, and Biden was, like, more concerned about offending the murderer by saying, calling him an illegal alien. And so if that doesn't wake people up as far as where we're at, like what the priorities are and how these people don't represent you and they're more concerned, that it is all about replacing you. So I'll just leave that at that. But to the socialism thing, this is interesting. I'm kind of glad the previous caller, Dan, I believe, had brought this up. And, like, okay, there's no way that you can get around socialism. Socialism is inevitable. There's always going to be some form of socialism, right? I mean, even this rugged individualism, you got your bug out bag, you're going to go in the woods, you know, you're the one-man army bullshit like Rambo and all that. And that's bullshit. Oh, I'm sorry.
Try not to use that.
Yes, sir, I apologize.
Yeah, sure.
That's nonsense, right? This is just utter nonsense. And even if you do that and you go out there, man, the scariest thing that you're going to run into is not a grizzly bear. It's not a bobcat. You know what the scariest thing you're going to run into? It's going to be another human, okay? And you not killing each other, and then you probably won't want to kill each other because you need each other and you need friends, which, by the way, that's the reason prisoners don't. That's another thing. People don't all kill each other as soon as you get in, you kill people because you have to have friends. Okay, so, and you have to have in-groups and out-groups and this type of thing. And what's interesting about, like, the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler and this thing, and, like, I'm not here to defend Adolf Hitler. I'm not going to get into any more than I would defend Mike Tyson. Is he a rapist or not? Or what do you think about that? I don't know. But what I do know was he was an incredible boxer and that he was good and he had skills. His particular style was effective and it worked. And I would say the same thing about Adolf Hitler. Like, I'm not going to diverge into this thing because that, what does that matter? Right. If you want to be a better boxer, you could learn from Mike Tyson. If you want to be a better person, maybe not. I don't know. You know, that's something I'm not going to delve in that. And what was different about the National Socialism versus the communism is that it was upward. Right. So we all need streets. We all need what's called the commons. Right. The commons that we all share. And so we all have to chip in. And there's no way that everybody's going to pay. This whole idea of paying the fair share, that's never going to happen. And it's actually not supposed to happen. Let me use, like, automotive insurance or health insurance as an example, right? The idea behind all that, right, is that if you get really sick or something really bad happens to you, you're not going to be able to afford what it takes for you. It's like a reverse lottery, right? You aren't going to be able to afford the care you're going to need. But the good news is that that ain't going to happen to all of us. So if all of us chip a little bit in, then the unfortunate person that falls victim, just like the car crash, auto insurance, all this type of thing, man, he will be covered because we all chipped in because we're all not going to face that, right? Okay, so and to me, that's as far as I want to go with the negative socialism versus this communist to every man's need from everyone's ability where you're just going to drag this dead weight, right? You can't do that, okay? And so what is the best and most humane way to do? You invest in what works. You're going to invest. We're all going to put in for those that are gifted, those that are talented, for the thing in the future. And then not that you don't care or have compassion for the lesser people. It's just that you're not investing in that or encouraging it. You're not going to subsidize it. That's the problem with the welfare state that we have here. But it's by design. Because at the end of the day, it's all about destroying us, man. But would you like to respond to that?
Well, yes. I mean, like, this whole motto for what, Ellis Island? Like, give us your poor, your weak, your downtrodden. Isn't there something like that associated with it? I mean, you know, it was totally distorted, you know, as, you know, these Jewish groups got more and more influence over immigration policies in this country, you know, as the years went on. But yeah, I mean, originally, just like with any other country, we had an attitude where if you're not a benefit to us, you know, we don't want you coming in. And as far as distorting the racial stock more and more, I mean, yeah, that is going to be a recipe for less efficiency, we'll say, you know, no matter what society and what race, your ethnicity you're talking about the world over, I'd say. And that is a subversive tactic, you know, with these proxy armies, as we often refer to these groups that Jewish organizations and activists will weaponize. You know, that's why we have what we do today with these critical race theory university professor nutters and these black militia types who and then the whole insane idea of South Africa right now, you know, bringing Israel to The Hague about genocide on top of everything else, you know, it just, you know, I mean, so yeah, we're being psyoped from every direction, you know, regarding the you know, the loss of meritocracy. That doesn't mean you don't have compassion. If it's just your own folk, you don't mind. Yeah, you're more willing anyway, and encourage, you know, trying to take care of the people who have, like, you know, mental problems or physical disabilities or you know, just are elderly or wounded from battle. I mean, yeah, the more you dilute it with you know, other cultures and races, you know, the less you even want that component. But yeah, taking it one step further, I mean, these people are being encouraged. I mean, you have everyone here with a handout from every country around the globe now, Tony. Back over to you.
No, as far as that, like that, you covered many things, but it's interesting, as you get older, you just have less patience. And I just cut to the chase with this stuff. I mean, I really do. I listen to people and how they, I'm like, no, you don't. You don't hate racism. When people sort of run that, I'm like, I don't believe that. Because this is something I've learned, by the way. And I tell people this, I'm right. The older I've gotten, I've really come to realize that most people don't want to believe the truth. They're not about the truth. They don't care about look, we all have biases, okay? We want, like, when I research something, okay, there's an outcome I want. And there's an outcome I don't want. But I try to accept the fact that the outcome I don't want may be the reality. And because I want to live in reality, I try to be as open-minded to anything I can. But I'm also conscious of my biases, and we all have them. And what I've noticed about most people is that most people just want to believe what most people believe. Okay? So, and basically, they just want to be in the majority. They don't want to be in the minority. They don't want to be the fool. And that's the whole premise of democracy, which is utter foolishness. Because, like the Fuhrer said, okay, 10 fools are not worth one wise man. Okay, that's just a fact. Okay, and that's why eugenics is the most humane thing, man. It's just don't keep breeding something that's bad, negative, and that's a dead weight. I mean, if you want healthier people in the future, but anyway, I digress. Now I'm almost kind of forgetting where I'm going with this, but. And this is coming to you as a person who's very short like that, but I do think it's better if people are taller. Fortunately, I'm healthy, semi-intelligent, so I like that. But I realize that it's a downside to be, being short versus being taller. Like those have been, like, I think we should breed taller people, smarter people, stronger people, faster people. And you would do that with anything else. You would do that with any dog, with any horse. And just like you were saying about with the immigration, we only want to bring people that benefit. Yeah, that's how it works, right? I mean, this is the same. Who runs a company and wants to hire people that are going to be dead weight? Who says, hey, no, we're hiring people that are going to benefit our company? You know, we are immigrating people. And it's not even that. Here's what's interesting about that. Like, if you went with a total meritocracy and you were just discarding race, which – I don't believe in that, because if you think about it, when it comes to charity, then race, that's where it has to come in, right? Because it's like your family, that all starts at the home, man. You got a retarded kid. It's your house. It's your family. That's your retarded kid, right? So, your race is an extension of your family. And that's, even if you don't realize it, right? Even if someone has, like, the way it is now, because we're so large and such heavily populated, that someone has to tell you, like, oh, that's your cousin, that's this, that's that, or whatever. And sure, we're all related, but you're more closely related, you know. So, and that's where the charity part comes in, where you try to work with that. Mm-hmm. But then again, you're not trying to encourage the breeding of, like, you don't want to reproduce something that's not beneficial. You want to reproduce.
And
every year they make a car. Oh, go ahead.
No, absolutely. And no, I'm just seeing that I have now two other callers to try to fit in.
Okay,
so no, could you maybe make a final statement? Because I know you were trying to get to, like, your overall, if you want to, like, yeah, make one more statement about your, you know, what your, one of your overall points there, please.
No, my final statement on this is everything is that there's no such thing as this rugged individualism. If you can't, the only way you can fight a big government is to have a big government. I know that sucks to people with the libertarian leaning and everything like that, but that's the problem. You can't fight a bit, you know, you want peace or whatever, but you got to fight a knife with a knife, man. You do fight fire with fire. Anybody saying that doesn't know what they're talking about. I know you fight it with water or whatever, but you have to fight. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. I can call another time. I'll pass it to the next person. Thank you.
Well, yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, and please do. And yeah, no, it is, that is an ultimate conundrum. That's the populist wide reach as we were speaking with some of these gentlemen. But we have James in Vancouver. Hey, welcome, James. Hey, what did you want to add today, sir?
Well, somebody mentioned Mussolini. And you know who supported Mussolini, right? Well, his financier was Jack Morgan. And the agent that used to visit Mussolini on a regular basis was Tom Lamont. So my point is this, Mussolini was set up, Hitler was set up, and now Trump is set up as well. This whole Trump thing is, he's going to win the presidency only if he agrees to take America to war. Otherwise, he won't win. And I predict, again, the deep state will win the election in November. Back to you.
Yeah. I mean, you had proposed this at points in the past at the deep state. If they want a wartime president, you think that Donald Trump would be a better bet for them?
Mussolini was told he's going to war. Hitler was told he's going to war. And Trump is being told he's going to war. By the way, there's a big sit down this week. What's his name from WABC? Sid Rosenberg and his buddies. Andrew Giuliani, they're all going down to Mar-a-Lago to have a big sit-down with Trump. And guess who's not invited? Curtis Sliwa. So I'll let you go. You got another caller. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, well, no, thanks, as always, for your call. And we have Bubba Scout Reb on the phone. Bubba. Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Joe, U.S. Pentagon First Team Bubba Scout Reb. And we really enjoy tuning into your network. No, we don't. We'd rather have everyone talk us up because we're military jurisdiction. Please do that, and then we'll fix this. We don't want the darkies overrunning us. I grew up in white race boy America. It never occurred to me that we'd be surrounded by the Third World Horde. Never. Is it? Well, what are you talking about? Well, if you go 100 miles this way, there's a community of Negroes. What? That close? Where did they come from? I think Africa. That's what they used to tell us. Well, wow, I'm not going that way. Is there a road around there? Yeah, don't worry. There's a road around there. You won't have to see them. See, that's how we grew up. White race boy America. Now, we may not get that back, but we damn sure ain't going to have these bastards keep overrunning us and having excuses from our representatives. Oh, did you know they're flying them in? Well, you see, this Mayorkas, a jerk, he's going to fly. They've been doing that for the last 3 years. We found out from the great American. His name's Willie Cunningham or something. And he broadcasted, you know, for the last 3 years, they've been flying them in so they wouldn't be that congestion at the border, over millions of them.
Oh, good to know. Is that why everywhere I go, it's like we're in Africa, which I never wanted to go to?
He said, well, don't you want to see the wildlife in Africa, those lions? You get to pet the lions? No, you wouldn't want to do that. Do you get to get close and meet them and talk to them? No, you don't get. Well, what do you see in Africa?
Negroes! The same thing we didn't want to deal with here!
Now they're overrunning us.
So why don't you people do something for America and don't shut up about Bubba Scout Reb? That will help, because our convening authority are the people who control hydrogen bombs, and we're fed up with these local 911 bastards and the whole regional coordinators of these 10 federal regions. Oh, by the way, Florida sucks. It's in Region 4, run by Atlanta. So don't give me what that crap governor says. He takes orders from the UN, just like in Texas, where Region 6 is just...
Well, where would you live? I mean, where do you think is the best part of the country to live, then,
right,
Rob?
Damn center, Lakewood, Colorado's Region 8 headquarters, 7 states, all run by a scumbag. We told the military, I'll call them tomorrow every day.
Okay, I don't know. I've heard things about that. But no, yeah, like the Arkansas-Missouri region, some do favor that area. Well, thanks for your call. And folks, please support Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page. Because we really do need the help to get through this trying time. Economically, it has been rough lately, and we do want to keep the lights on here. All of these perspectives, and certainly voices you don't get elsewhere, information you'll be tried to find anywhere. But again, folks, please, the canary in the coal mine of free speech, RBN bids you keep us going so that we will speak again soon. And until then, folks, transcend the construct. Regard.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle